Welcome to episode 10 of the Geek Generation Podcast. I am joined today by a brand new co-host of Nerdcast fame, and I have to admit, I'm not entirely sure how I should be referring to you because you have the standard names on Nerdcast and comics, the comic show, of using the Twitter names. So I don't know if it's Slim or if it's at Slim or...
At Slim is fine. I think that's just force of habit.
Yeah.
Everyone that I know I refer to as at whoever their name is. It's like a sickness.
See, I don't think that flies as much with me because saying at the Night Angel all the time is going to be kind of long.
I actually practiced that on the way into this room.
Did you really?
At the Night Angel. I wanted to see how it sounded. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, but...
It doesn't, but I'll be prepared.
I think it'll work.
I'll be prepared in case it comes at me.
Sweet.
All right. Well, I want to start off the show by giving a little congratulations to a mutual friend of ours as Todd Tiuli, another co-host and a host of Dangerous Memories of his own show, got married last week.
Who'd have thunk that at Todd Tizzle would ever be able to get a girlfriend?
Oh.
Let alone a wife. I never would have guessed.
See, I only met the Tizzlenator about a month or two ago. So really, he's always been the ladies' man in my eyes.
Really?
Yeah.
My lord. When I met at Todd Tizzle, he's a scruffy fellow. He has his own podcast. He looked like he hadn't bathed in weeks. But good for him. Good for him for hypnotizing that sweet girl.
Under some sort of geek-like spell.
Yeah, I don't know how he did it.
He's the Sorcerer Supreme, is my theory.
He does. He needs a shave is what he needs to do, I think.
It's all power in the beard, like Chuck Norris.
God bless him.
All right, well, let's jump then right into geek outs and freak outs, and I will give you, at Slim, the opportunity to geek out first.
Yay!
Oh, my God. I am ready to just geek out of my shorts.
Sweet.
Right now at the Night Angel. I'm about to go into the tech realm right now for the geek out.
Sweet.
I have an iPad.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you know, but I read a lot of digital comics on there.
I'm a little jealous right now.
It's the way to go. I highly recommend that you rob an old woman to afford an iPad, as I did. But they just released the new software beta for iPad, which lets you multitask. You know, run Pandora in the background, stream audio. You know, multiple apps running at the same time. It's just it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Sweet.
At the Night Angel.
I think that was one of the initial complaints when the iPad came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people thought like you couldn't use it as like a computer replacement because, you know, it's just one app at one time. But this one adds a wireless printing. I think they call it air printing. I haven't really tried it out. So if you have a printer hooked up to a computer, I think it uses something called Bonjour, which is like some kind of wireless protocol or whatever. But if you have a printer set up on your network, you could just use the iPad and send it to that printer. So that's pretty cool.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Now, as an iPad user, do you miss the lack of flash?
Absolutely not. When usually you ask somebody about like what they would use in flash on an iPad, like can you name five websites that you'd be without? People would probably say Hulu.
Right.
But you know, Hulu.com doesn't really even work on mobile flash devices. Like the Droid phones that have flash, you can't watch Hulu.com on there.
Oh, gotcha.
It's not allowed by you know, the content providers. So, and then I mean, outside of that, you know, what else is there on flash? I guess maybe like Mega Video, where you can watch like TV shows for free illegally.
Yeah.
I think of
my college days and going to Newgrounds.com.
Really? I was never there on Newgrounds.
Hardcore stuff.
Really?
Great flash animations.
Oh, okay. So yeah, then maybe like some animated games, but I mean, a lot of those animated games, you really need a mouse, like a point-and-click mouse, you know, and the arrow of your mouse kind of hovers depending on how you move the mouse, and you can't really do that on a touchscreen.
That's true.
You know? So I don't know. I'm not a big Flash proponent on iPad. I don't have a daily use for it. You know, a lot of ESPN.com and stuff just loads, you know, HTML5 video, so I'm good with that.
So what kind of phone are you using then? Don't tell me you're doing the iPhone-iPad combo.
I am doing the iPad.
Ooh,
iPhone
wow.
combo.
Doubling up.
I have the iPhone 4, and it's just absolutely spectacular. I can't recommend it enough.
See, I haven't even moved into the smartphone era yet because it's just been out of my price range, but I feel like I've almost missed the window of opportunity because they're going to start putting all the bandwidth regulations on it now.
Yeah. I don't even know what kind of plans as a new customer you can get in on that isn't an unlimited plan. I know that if you had an iPhone already, you were grandfathered in if you had an unlimited plan. And now as like a new user, you can't get an unlimited plan.
Yeah, I feel a little cheated, honestly.
Yeah, it really depends, because I know a lot of people. I follow a lot of like people in the tech industry on the Twitter and whatnot, and around the time when this happened, they all checked to see what their like data usage was monthly, and depending on if you can get like a Wi-Fi connection for the majority of your day or night, you really don't have to worry about it.
True.
Because for me though, I don't get Wi-Fi at my work. I mean, I have Wi-Fi at work, but I'd rather not do what I do on an iPhone on a corporate network, so to speak.
That brings up so many questions.
So I wouldn't want Twitter showing up every 30 seconds on the internet.
Oh, Twitter,
blocks.
Yeah, Twitter.
Yeah, it's just the Twitter, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you are at a place of work or you work at home or you can get a Wi-Fi and you're not, you know, you're just checking email and whatnot.
Okay.
Then you really don't have to worry. So I rack up maybe like I'm near 2 gigs a month in data. You know, that's with like streaming music on a 3G connection. But I think I'm on the fringe with that. I think. Because I'm a heavy iPhone user.
Yeah, I feel I will be if I ever move into that realm. And I'm an AT&T user anyway. I've had them since they were singular. So really, it's kind of a no-brainer to eventually go that route.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, is there anything else you have?
Now, are we still talking freakouts?
Geekouts, actually.
Okay, geekouts. What else do I have on my notes here? Do you play much video games at the Night Angel?
I loves the video games.
Do you have a 360 or a PS3?
I'm a PS3 guy.
I'm going to hang up the Skype call right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Oh, what was it? There's the door, I believe.
There's the door, that's right. No, but I just got a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I got NHL 11 for the 360. I'm a huge NHL fan, hockey fan, and it's pretty much the greatest hockey game ever made. I say that every year, but it continues this year.
I have to admit, I'm not a huge sports fan, but when it comes to sports games, NHL is definitely the way to go.
Absolutely. It's probably the only game that I can consider myself buying that I know I'll be playing for 9 months after the fact.
For those of our audience not in the know, what are the big like key upgrades to this version?
They added in broken sticks. You know, you take a shot, a certain percentage of the time it'll snap. Depending on how you get checked, your stick could break. So you could be like skating around without a stick.
Very nice.
You know, with a loose puck, and you can like kick it ahead of yourself. And actually, a new feature that I don't think it's been in the game since like 1999 was video replays.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they added so it could be. I had it happen the other day for the first time. It never happened to me in the demo, but I had one of my Flyers players, it deflected off of his glove and into the net, and they called it off at first. And then they went upstairs and reviewed that he didn't do it purposefully, and then they called it a goal. It was probably the greatest thing I've ever seen in video games.
That is pretty amazing. So clearly that's not user-controlled. That's a sporadic event.
Yeah, it's just completely random depending on, you know, I had it happen with some guy who hit in a goal with a high stick. His stick was over the crossbar, and they called it off.
Wow.
And I was like pissed, but I was like excited at the same time. It's just that happened in a video game.
That is like ridiculously lifelike and very awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Love it to death.
Wow.
But I will say this, there's a negative on NHL 11. I'm probably the most competitive person you'll ever talk to, and I play NHL online with my brother, and playing NHL online against strangers is probably the most stressful experience I've ever had. More stressful than Halo Online with people who are trash talking you.
Yeah,
I could play someone without a microphone and lose to them, and I would literally want to throw my controller through the TV. It's terrible.
Is there no voice chat at all?
There is, but I think I would just get more stressed out, so I don't even put the headset on, and it's just brutal.
Wow.
It's brutal.
I still wait for the day of actual playable SmackDown vs. Raw, because the online play has always been atrocious.
Really? That seems like a game that would be hard to master because of, you know, any kind of maybe like a half second lag.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Absolutely. I've never been able to play the game without a lag.
Hmm.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, I know there's always going to be like a little delay. Like when you play NHL offline and online, you can kind of gauge the delay. So I can kind of like, you know when I have to change how I hit buttons a little bit.
Yep.
But I would like fear myself playing, you know, like a wrestling or an MMA game online. I think that would even get me more upset.
Oh yeah, and it's half a second to a full second lag. It's
wow.
Ridiculous.
Wow. What kind of a connection do you have at your place?
I'm still going broadband and all that stuff, but
yeah.
I don't know. No matter how good my connection was, it was just not there. And I don't know if that's just a PS3 thing. Maybe it was better on Xbox.
Do you have your PS3 wired, or is it wireless?
It is wired.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I play Uncharted flawlessly.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, I had for a couple weeks, I had my Xbox 360 wireless, and I couldn't even get to stream an HD movie. It wouldn't even let me stream it. It told me I had to download it.
Oof.
Because on the 360, now, as of last year, you get the option to, depending on your connection, you can stream it at 1080p. And you don't have to download it, or they let you download it.
Sweet.
So when I'm wired, it says like, okay, you're capable of 1080p streaming, and you don't have to wait like an hour for it to download, which is good.
Right. Yeah, you want to watch right away.
Yeah.
Sweet dilly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. What else you got? Anything else, sir?
I don't have any more geek outs.
All right.
Those are my two big ones.
I have a definite hardcore geek out this week, and that is Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, I did see on the Twitter people were a Twitter about it.
They were
at PAX, right?
Did you ever play Duke Nukem 3D?
As a youth, I did play the Duke Nukem games, and seeing, you know, half naked women as a child was automatically like top three games of all time.
Yeah, booby tassels were just in those pixelated form. Amazing.
Absolutely. I don't think I've seen anything as good as those boobies.
Yeah, Duke Nukem 3D. I mean, back in the day in high school, I had one friend that I played Duke Nukem 3D and Command & Conquer Red Alert with over the modem like every single night. So, And this has been 14 years in the making, this Duke Nukem Forever.
I still don't think it's going to come out.
Oh, don't say these things to me.
I mean, you just have to... I don't think anyone can really get excited for this until they walk into a store and see people buying it.
But they promised.
That's my thing.
They promised.
Yeah. I would feel bad for the development team that got assigned to this game. Unless it's like a labor of love for... Who is it? Gearbox?
It is now, yes.
I wonder if it was just a labor of love for every developer saying, you know, like, let's just get this game done. And because we love Duke Nukem. Because if, like, you weren't a Duke Nukem fan and you had to finish this game, I would feel kind of bummed.
Yeah, it had to be a labor of love at some point. But here's some other quick news tidbits. Gearbox has bought not only are they releasing Duke Nukem Forever, they bought the franchise.
Wow.
So they own Duke Nukem now, and they can pretty much make some more games, maybe? That's probably really wishful thinking at this point.
Yeah, seriously. What other games did Gearbox do? I can't remember.
Honestly, I have no clue.
I want to say Black, the one game for PS2, I think it was. I can't remember.
All I can see is the box in my head for Black, and that's my knowledge of it right there.
I'm Wikipediaing them as we speak, because it's just going to annoy me if I don't... figure out. Let me see here. They're from Texas. Half-Life. They've done Brother in Arms.
Oh.
Half-Life. I don't think they did the main game. I think they did the add-ons.
Yeah.
Borderlands was their last one.
Gotcha. Yep. That was a big hit.
That was pretty big, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. Duke Nukem Forever, 14 years in the making. Please just deliver. That's... it could suck. I'll just be happy to play the friggin' thing.
I think you're right. People may think it sucks, but then like at the end of every review, they'll just be like, well, at least it came out.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Well, at least.
Yeah. Oh, well.
The other thing I'm really geeking out about is Mega Man Universe, because I am a ginormous Mega Man fan. Love them from the NES days. I've pretty much played every single Mega Man game that's US based, at least.
Yeah, it was, so there's a newer, bigger game coming out?
It is. I don't know if it, I should describe it as bigger, but it is, it's downloadable. Recently they had Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10, which were kind of throwbacks to the original NES versions. Mm-hmm. And Mega Man Universe is kind of shrouded in mystery right now, but they're slowly leaking out some information. And one of the things that we have seen recently is that it is still the 2D side scroller, but they're going with that 3D objects in a 2D realm type thing.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that they released this week is a character editor and a level editor. And when you say unlimited unique Mega Man levels in the same sentence, is I'm sold right there.
That's got to be like every Mega Man lover's dream would be to make your own Mega Man game.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is.
It is.
It's a level editor.
As you could with Little Big Planet, you can share all these levels online and just download other created levels. And that's amazing to me.
That's like Halo when they did Forge. You could build your own kind of maps. When you could put them on like a share and have people download them too. I never got into that because I was a big Halo fan, but I never got to the point where I'd sit and do my own map. But for Mega Man fans, this has got to be like, you know, discovering plutonium.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And the other really cool thing that they've said too is that a lot of the pieces are uniquely Capcom, and they do have things from other worlds. So at the end of the trailers that they've released, you can see Ryu in full form from Street Fighter, and he is playable in the game, even though you might have to create him. Every created character you make gets unique powers based on the pieces that you use. So if you build Ryu, he'll be Ryu. There you have Arnold from like Ghouls and Ghosts. And
oh, nice.
A lot of the level pieces, too, will also be from other Capcom worlds.
Hmm. You know, I think they had a Mega Man game. I'm not sure which one it was, but they have a Mega Man for iPhone.
Do they?
An official one, not like a jailbroken, you know, emulator. It's actually a real deal Mega Man game.
Like old school 16-bit, 8-bit type thing?
Yep. They had, I think the bot, I think it, you have to play it in portrait mode, meaning the phone has to be like standing up straight. And then the bottom, they have like, you know, buttons, like an analog stick on the left and then the A and B button on the bottom. I think I downloaded the demo, but I'm not a huge fan, so I just deleted it.
I can only picture that being frustrating with that kind of a control scheme.
And with a game like Mega Man that has the, you know, the precise movements, I don't know how well it sold, but I haven't heard anything about it really.
Yeah. So Mega Man Universe, very exciting. That's all I got for geekouts. So I guess we can move now into freakouts.
Let's do it.
Oh, freakout!
All right, what do you got?
One thing I did get upset about this week, or freakout, even. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the blogging website. The Tumblr?
Have you heard of Tumblr?
Tumblr?
I believe you use it. Dangerous Memories uses it.
Yes, I use it for the .org, nerdcast.org. Check it out. But the majority of the Tumblr community, it's a great platform. You know, you can just pick up and blog within seconds. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff, you can get as in-depth as you want, too. So I have my site, like, you know, entirely customized, blah, blah, blah. But the cool thing about Tumblr is, it has its own version of like Twitter retweets. It's called Reblog.
Cool.
So if you like someone's post and you can have it show up in like a stream on your main site, you follow people's blogs, they all show up in like this main feed. And if you like something, you can reblog it. The problem with that is it's easy to delete people's text. Like say I write something and I put links as to where I found it in the text. People can just reblog it, keep the photo, and delete all my crap. So now, like, if that gets reblogged like 100 times, now it looks like, you know, I didn't include the proper attribution to it.
Gotcha.
And then it just looks like someone stole the photo and just put it online.
Do you run into the issue of people just really stripping your content down and trying to pass it off as their own?
Absolutely. I mean, if I find an image online, like the other day I found a picture of Spider-Man. It was like a Marvel speed dating post where they had this artist do, you know, like adorable pictures of Spider-Man and Johnny Storm in like kind of animated form, you know, from the view of the other date. So they're sitting on the other side of this table like trying to impress the woman.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, so it was funny. But I posted the picture and I had, you know, I put a little text and then I had where I found it in a hyperlink. So some chick reblogged that and deleted all that.
Oh.
So that was the freak out. And this used to happen to me all the time. It was so frustrating. Because then, you know, inevitably this gets reblogged by someone, and then that happens, and, you know, it's like, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, but, like, you never see where the image is from because they deleted it.
Yeah.
But Tumblr just made a change, which inevitably turned this into a geek out, that you can embed the source in the post, and no matter what the person reblogs, deletes out of it, it will always say source, and then in parentheses, where I found it. So Tumblr got a bunch of complaints about it, and they finally fixed it. So it's actually great because she reblogged it, deleted all my stuff, but then she can't even change it because at the bottom it says source comicsalliance.com.
Sweet.
So now they're like, you know, they're putting the stop to the incessant reblogs without attribution, which is great.
So no matter how many degrees of Kevin Bacon we get away from the original post,
it'll always be there at the bottom.
Fantastic.
Love it. Love it.
That is tremendous.
I think that was my only freak out this week. So it was a pretty good week.
Sweet. Well, yeah. That, I mean, I've gone 2 weeks without. Sometimes I don't even have a freak out. Although I think my freak outs are more frequent than my geek outs. But this week I am freaking out over the fact that NBC has said, "Are you a Heroes fan at all?" Or while it was airing,
I was a Heroes fan for the first season.
That is what the majority of people, I believe, respond to that question.
Yeah.
See, I actually hung with it the whole time. And
that must
even
have been
though
very stressful for you.
It was a little bit, and it dipped down clearly in season three a lot, and the writer's strike didn't help at all. And I really thought it was on a path coming back to where it should have been when the show got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC has said that despite the possibility, there was talk of a possibility of a TV movie after the show was canceled last May, that there would be some sort of resolution to the story, but they have said this week that that's not going to happen, which I guess is always the case with shows. People always want that TV movie to wrap things up, like Firefly actually got Serenity, so that was something at least.
Yeah, and then what about that show Jericho? Didn't that get taken back for another season?
I believe
so. Did you ever watch that show?
I didn't.
Think, like, the fans like sent the NBC peanuts or something, like thousands of peanuts. Or whatever, and they're like, F it, let's just bring it back.
We really like peanuts, I mean. We gotta do that.
Who doesn't, really? I liked Heroes for the first season, and as a hardcore comic fan as me, I thought this was, you know, awesome. You know, we're gonna get, like, the majority of the public into superheroes and people with superpowers. And I loved the first season. My main gripe was the underlying theme, or, like, the villainous plot lines.
Mm-hmm.
The overrunning theme, I remember it copying The Watchmen a little bit. Like, they had visions of the end of the world.
Right.
Or what have you. And then didn't it turn out to be, like, it was staged, and it was staged to kind of clean up society, or to kind of turn society on its ear in order to get on a different path?
Yeah. It ended up being, oh God, it feels like so long ago. it really ended up being kind of not what it appeared to be in the vision. Like, the vision still happened from a visual standpoint, but what it actually was not quite as bad as what it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, it was some weird thing like that, but they always do that. They throw that little twist where, oh, it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was rough for me at the time, but then, like, I don't know, it felt like I got drug along during season two just for myself, and then I just kind of called it quits.
Yeah. And well, the freak out isn't so much just, I mean, I'm bummed that Heroes isn't going to get wrapped up, but really, like, TV producers need to take on some responsibility for the content they're creating. Heroes was a 4-year commitment for a lot of people, or maybe just myself, but it was 4 years of TV watching that they just say, that's it. We're done. No resolution. And they do that with a lot of shows, and it pisses me off. Even if it's just one season, there should be some sort of responsibility on the part of the networks to give viewers that were loyal enough to hang in there an ending to a story.
Yeah, I can't think of any show online or show on TV or network that kind of has that responsibility and they take it to heart. I can't think of really anything.
Yeah, anything.
Maybe Lost, maybe? I don't know.
Well, they supposedly had a plan in mind at the end. I mean, that's debatable, but they did say that they had an end game in mind, and they actually stretched out what they were going to do. It was supposed to be 4 seasons. Mm-hmm. And then it got extended, but at least they did wrap things up, and shows that do that, I appreciate so much, even if they're only for a season or two.
Yeah, I can see a show like Heroes having a longer shelf life than Lost, obviously, but only if it's done right.
Right.
If it's not done right, you kind of just put yourself in a hole, and then you won't even get the chance to do it.
And they set the bar so high to begin with. That first season was so amazing.
Yeah, I loved it.
Every episode was like huge things happening, people dying, new people showing up. It was crazy.
That one guy, the brother, the older brother, he actually just reminds me, now that I think about it, of Don Draper. He looked like John Hamm.
Oh, yeah. Very similar look.
Yeah. Now they think, make me think they're twins.
Do you know who he's married to, actually?
No idea.
One of the Dixie chicks, actually. Natalie Maines.
Hmm. Interesting. Is she the one with the short hair?
Lead singer, the blonde.
Oh, okay. I only know the chick with the short hair for some reason.
Okay.
I remember a few years ago they battled George Bush. That's about it.
Gotcha. I only know the Dixie Chicks, or Natalie at least, from Howard Stern listening, because she's a super fan. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So basically that's my freak out for the week.
Sweet.
I just want resolutions. That's all. It's not a lot to ask for. So I know you've listened to the show in the past, and I hope that you are familiar with the game that we like to play.
The top three.
The top three. So we're going to play some top three right now.
Okay.
Sweet.
Three, two, one.
All right. You have the comics podcast going on, which is what? At Comics Podcast?
At Comics Podcast on the Twitter, or referred to as The Comics Podcast. It's spectacular. Go listen to it.
It is quite fantastic.
Thank you.
So I felt I had to gear my top three this week into the comic universe for you.
I was hoping you would.
Yeah. this might be something you're asked a lot as a comic book fan, but it might not. What would your top three comics that you really think need to be made into movies? What are they? And they don't have to be, of course, superhero. There's such a wide variety. You know that. But if you could pick three comics, whether they be ongoing franchises or just one-shots or miniseries that really just need to be made into movies, what would they be?
Wow. Great question. If they had to be a movie, I'd prefer a TV series for this one, but if it was a movie, I would be equally as heavy. Probably my all-time favorite series in comic books is Planetary by Warren Ellis and John Cassidy. I don't know if you want to call him that, but have you ever read Planetary?
I have not. What's the basic premise, though?
It's, think Indiana Jones plus X-Files plus alcohol. And just you get that combination into one comic book.
I was not expecting the third component.
I couldn't think of something on the same playing field as Indiana Jones and the second one I said, X-Files.
Gotcha.
But it follows Planetary as an organization that looks after, you know, the strange goings on in the planet. They're, you know, if something kind of freaky goes on, you know, like a monster comes out of the sewers in New York City, Planetary is going to be there to take care of it and log it in their archives.
Sweet.
So there's a lot of stuff there. The series starts out with you know, one character who's 100 years old. He doesn't age, and he gets recruited to join the Planetary because he has this experience with kind of strange worldly things.
Okay.
And so he joins Planetary, and each issue is its own, you know, kind of freak of the week, kind of like how X-Files was.
Oh, well, yeah, that's perfect for a TV show then.
Yeah. So there's an underlying theme, there's something going on where the reason I love it is because they put a kind of modern as this idea can be, a modern spin on superheroes. So the Fantastic Four, you know, they went into space, they got hit with rays, and they came back and were heroes. In this storyline, the Fantastic Four become the ultimate villains. They got hit with something in space, and they become the most powerful beings on the planet to the point where they're running the planet. You know, behind, they're the puppet masters of things that go on Earth. So those are like, that's like the Planetary arch villain, or the Four, they call them.
Very cool.
And then throughout the series, you get things where, like, you know, a ship lands on Earth that's like a Superman-ish character.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see how they interact with Planetary. You know, how would Planetary take care of that? There's like a Batman character. Very cool. The other one I would think of, I just had it in my head, The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, yeah.
That needs to be made into a movie, Prano.
Are you thinking Nolan for that as well?
I don't know. You know, this movie is so dark and gritty. I'm trying to think of who I would want to give a different spin. I like Nolan for, you know, a more dramatic movie.
Sure.
But this has such a futuristic tone and, you know, even darker tone that I don't know who I would want to get
there. So you're talking like totally recast, redirected.
Yeah, just completely different cast. Yeah, who's the director that did District 9? What was that guy's name?
Oh, Neil Blomkin?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Blomkin? Neil Blomkin? What?
I'm sure he never gets that. Do you remember seeing his shorts for Halo that he made when
No.
he was rumored to be doing? Oh my god, you got to look online. When Halo 3 was coming out, he did shorts for the game that he was eventually going to turn into a movie, like a real movie. And it's some of the most realistic sci-fi footage ever. You gotta look. You gotta Google. Everyone Google Halo 3 short film.
There's still a lot of talk of a Halo movie moving forward.
Yeah, Peter Jackson was attached, and then what's the other guy from? He was supposed to do The Hobbit.
Oh,
Del something or other.
Oh man.
I want to say Del Toro, but that doesn't sound right.
Well, yeah, that would be Benicio del Toro. You're right, though. Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, he was rumored to direct it, and then it fell through. But
yeah,
I'm trying to think of probably the ideal ones are books that I recommend to people. I'd love to see Why the Last Man turned into anything, a series or a movie.
That I have heard of, and it sounds very cool.
Why the Last Man could easily, you know, if Walking Dead is a success, I think that would be the next property to become a TV series. For those that have never heard it, it's the main character wakes up and he's the last male on the planet, you know, animal or otherwise, and he has to find out what the heck's going on. And I think it's like 60 issues. It's not like it goes on for, you know, too long. They had a set plan and they ended it. Fabulous.
Sweet. And I'm assuming those can be bought in graphic novel
form. Oh yeah, absolutely. You can actually even start buying it if you have a you don't have to have an iPhone or an iPad, but you can get it on Comixology because you can actually get it through their web store and read it if you have a computer. You can buy them
Sweet.
For like 99 cents.
I'm down.
What else? What would be the third one? I probably would want to see the Wolverine Limited series become Wolverine 2. Hmm. The very first Wolverine Limited series when he's in Japan.
Can we forget about Wolverine 1 if we're going to do this?
I forgot about it the second that I shut my laptop when I watched it illegally.
Wait a minute. That's Deadpool?
Yeah, exactly. I remember when that movie leaked, and I told myself, you know, don't watch it. Go see it in theaters. And I gave up, and I just watched it online. And
I waited.
I immediately forgot about it as soon as I was done.
Was it just that much more abysmal to watch it without the effects and whatnot?
God, it was terrible. I mean, as a Wolverine fan, this is just like Wolverine just walking up to you and kicking you in the crotch and walking away and calling you a loser. This is like the worst thing that could ever happen to you.
I saw it in theaters, and it felt almost the same way. So.
Oh, God. But yeah, when Wolverine 2 is rumored to be like set in Japan,
mm-hmm.
So I want the storyline to kind of cross over to the limited series, you know, where he talks with Mariko,
mm-hmm.
And I want that to start out that way, and I also want it to end in the Wolverine series where he's forced to kill her because she's been poisoned. I want the movie to end with that. That's like one of the biggest moments in Wolverine's history where she asks him to end it because she's in so much pain.
That's a deep, dark ending right there.
Oh, God, I love it. But that'd be so perfect.
That would be. I
hope they turn the first movie into Weapon X reprogramming memories, and he just wakes up, and it never happened. Yeah, this is like one of his fake memories that they used to implant in his brain.
I can that only would, pray.
Oh, that would be so sweet. But those are three off the top of my head that I would love to see on a screen. Small or otherwise.
Sweet. Well, I like the answers. Two I definitely heard of, and then the other one I'm going to have to check out. So I like just hearing about the new comics that I should be reading.
Yeah, really. Planetary, I think we talked about on maybe the very first comics podcast. But yeah, at any cost, go get like volume one any way you can. So good. You'll love it.
Kick ass. Well, that is a good game right there. So we're going to take a quick commercial break here and we'll be right back.
We all know the best podcast in the world is
The Geek Generation.
But what you might not know is there are other ones, such as...
Like you and me, Hector and Todd. Dangerous Memory.
That's right.
We're reviewing the AFI Top 100, and we're bringing new episodes every Wednesday. Come check us out on www.hectorandtodd.com.
Hello, listeners. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Well, then I have good news for you, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You have spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine. We are back, and it's time to jump right into listener emails. Now, I did a lot of poking and prodding of the audience to send these in. It came in as a flood of emails today. We have a ton of messages, most of them via the Twitter. Last week's poll question was, what is your favorite old-school NES game? Which I know is a very tough question to ask a lot of people. Yeah, the first one comes in from Justin O'Connor and says, Blaster Master is the only obvious choice. Short and sweet.
What movie, Blaster Master? Is that Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome? Wasn't there a character, Master Blaster, I think?
I don't know.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Everyone go rent Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome with Tina Turner. It'll change your life.
We got lots of recommendations going on in this show.
Absolutely.
Not to mention the show notes
will be insane.
Plus the whole third segment of actual recommendations. Our next one comes in from Chris Tong, who says, Zelda, the gold cartridge. Love that game. Still play it from time to time. Also, Super Contra. Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start. 99 lives. Although he skipped the select.
Oof. What a loser. Get out of here. Get out of here, you jerk.
You jerk.
Never talk to the show ever again.
And Super Contra? Wait, that was Super Nintendo, wasn't it?
It would make sense. Because every game that came out for Super Nintendo first had that adjective.
I don't know, Chris Tong. I think this guy's fake.
I think this guy's a bot. He just saw your tweet and just like responded with random words.
If he didn't say gold cartridge within that, I'd show him where the door is.
Yeah, exactly.
At Ryan Ellis has our next response on the Twitter. The reason no one answered to the greatest NES game question is because it's impossible to pick just one, except Punch-Out. No, wait. Mm. It's Zelda. No, wait. Super Mario Brothers. No, wait. Darkwing Duck. No, wait, I think you get my point. I'm settling on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, the original before they pulled Tyson from the game, and with vodka, Drunkinsky, etc. They pulled Tyson from the game?
I don't remember. It's a small piece of knowledge. There is actually a Darkwing Duck comic out right now, and it's popular.
Really?
Yes.
I cannot tell you how much I loved Darkwing Duck when it was airing.
Oh, my God. I remember specifically when shows started, because when animated series premiered at night, it blew my mind. Like the X-Men animated series that premiered at like 8 o'clock, so I was allowed to stay up and watch it. And I think Darkwing Duck started at like 8 or 9 o'clock too. and when I was younger, that just like completely blew my mind away. Like I'm watching an animated show at night.
That show is so amazing.
That's
the best comedy version of Batman that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. The next one comes in from Mr. Todd Tiuli. I've spent many hours playing Ninja Turtles and Superman because they're impossible. But anyone who doesn't say Super Mario 3 is a goddamn fool. That game is amazing. He just wrote GD. I like to swear. Also, regarding credits on TV shows, we did talk about them, why they always show up at the beginning. He says that they have to be put at the beginning a lot contractually. SAG rules. Listen to Dangerous Memories, Todd.
At DM Podcast on the Twitter.
That's true. Super Mario 3, obviously a fantastic game. Ninja Turtles, insanely frustrating. And I don't even recall a Superman NES game.
No, I don't remember.
I know you'd pick it up right away, being such a huge Superman fan.
There was maybe like one Superman game that you were just like flying the whole time. I don't know. That might have been Atari.
That was Superman 64, I think.
Was it? Oh, okay.
I
think Superman 64, I think, was kind of awful. I remember. Didn't that have like a blue cartridge?
All I know about that one is that the majority of the game was flying through rings.
Oh, God. Yeah, Superman loves to do that instead of saving lives.
Hey, there's a ring. There's a burning truck.
Let me do the rings first, pal. You can hold on a minute.
Next response comes in from @Dale_A, one of your buddies.
Nice.
Hey, Geek Generation, first time, long time. I write to tell you that the best NES game to me is Contra. It was so BA. Why are people abbreviating? It was so badass for its time. It was also a perfect two-player game, mostly because it is hard as balls on one player. It also utilized the fabled Konami code to get 30 lives. 30? I thought it was 40. Am I wrong?
I don't remember.
I don't know. God, man. We're getting old.
We are old. I need to go to bed. It's like 7 p.m.
Make sure you tell your A-wipe. Oh, my God. What is... Why do people censor themselves? This is an explicit podcast.
We abbreviate stuff. We abbreviate stuff on the Nerdcast podcast all the time because I was always scared of getting kicked out of the store, so we would abbreviate everything.
We're getting way too much Nerdcast leak over into the show.
Yeah.
Make sure you tell your A-Wipe fans who don't remember what a Nintendo is that they can get the game once again on their fancy Xboxes and experience it for themselves. Keep up the good work. Next response.
I was just saying, I love my Xbox.
Xbox. Man Behind the Clouds, who co-hosted the last episode with me, had to have been Strider. Hope last episode was well received. Have fun with your next one. P.S. If you could plug manbehindtheclouds.com, that would be awesome. And way to sneak that in.
That guy is a genius. He's a marketing genius.
It's insane. He really is. Last response from @reh311 on the Twitter. In honor of the 25th anniversary, it's hard to top the Super Mario games. Spent many hours playing those.
Not that it will ever be possible, but I wish Mario would come out for iPhone or iPad. Legally.
Legally.
Yeah, legally.
That would be pretty amazing. You know they have handheld emulators now, right?
Yeah, I used to jailbreak my phone a lot back in the day, but it just became like too unstable and things would break and I just gave up on it.
Gotcha. Do you have a favorite old school NES game off the top of your head?
I think off the top of my head, I'm going to have to go RoboCop. One of the greatest movies of all time. easily translates into one of the greatest video games of all time.
You want to know what that reminds me of? There's, what was it? I think the Predator game. You haven't played it?
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, my God. The funniest thing in that game is that... Well, you know, what is it? Is it Predator? One of them, he blows himself up to destroy the Predator, right? Is it the first one? Or maybe the second?
I don't think this is the first one.
Okay, well, in one of the Predator games for NES, you could pause the game, and you hit select, and it goes back into it, and you blow yourself up.
So there's like a suicide option?
There is, and I think you actually have to do it to defeat the last boss.
Wow, that's a strange message to teach children. In order to win, you have to kill yourself.
I just couldn't stop blowing myself up. I never got through the first level.
Yeah, I would imagine that happened to a lot of kids.
Yeah, it was way too much fun.
Real life or otherwise.
My favorite old school NES game is, again, the Mega Man series. That whole series was just amazing to me. And I can't even separate them in my head anymore. So, really, it's just the whole gamut of them.
Nice.
The poll question this week, normally we kind of piggyback off the top three, but being that the fall TV season is right around the corner, I'm going to actually throw out to the audience, what fall TV premiere are you most looking forward to? You can send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on the Twitter. Would you like to answer or do you want to perhaps write in? I know that's a lot of work.
I'm about to get even nerdier.
Sweet.
I don't even know if you want to consider it nerdy, but kind of lame. But I'm addicted, thanks to Netflix. I am addicted to Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. Have you ever watched Ghost Adventures?
I can only think of Ghost Hunters.
It's like Ghost Hunters. It's this meathead that looks like Michael Cera, Picture that for a second.
What the crap?
A taller Michael Cera, and he's a meathead, and he's with two other guys with cameras, and they just go into these haunted areas and taunt the ghosts, essentially, as opposed to ghost hunters. You know, they just like, kind of walk in and say, did you hear that? Did you hear that? But Ghost Adventures, they kind of go and record, and the cool thing is, you know, they'll play what they recorded over the video of them still searching, you know, so you don't have to wait until the end of the episode to see the results. But the show is just, it's so over the top. This guy is like insane. You know, he thinks something, you know, touches him and he'll run out the door. It's hilarious. Everyone DVR the Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel right now.
It's like the paranormal Crocodile Hunter.
Yeah, pretty much. It's on Netflix. So if you have a Netflix streaming, you can watch the first two seasons for free.
Sweet dilly. I definitely do.
I love free. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, Netflix streaming is perhaps the best invention of the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
So phenomenal.
I agree.
All right, well then, it's time to go right into news.
Let's do it.
Of course, the big top story this week is that Duke Nukem Forever was unveiled at PAX. Gearbox Software and 2K Games have taken on the task of completing and releasing Duke Nukem Forever, which was initially begun by 3D Realms. The project was officially revealed at PAX Prime. Duke Nukem Forever is a sequel to 1996's Duke Nukem 3D and will feature both single-player and multiplayer modes. They're saying it's going to be out 2011.
Duke Nukem. Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, and we've kind of said our piece about that already, so.
Not holding my breath.
Are you ready to feel old?
I'm doing that right now, but I can feel older.
Oh, we're celebrating a birthday this week.
Uh-oh.
Super Mario Brothers is celebrating their 25th anniversary.
I can't believe it.
I know, right? How old were you when Super Mario came out?
I guess I might have been 2.
Really?
If they're dating back to the original. I remember when I first got introduced, Super Mario Brothers 3 was the one that I remember, just because of, you know, his little raccoon suit, his adorable raccoon suit. And that was the main thing that I remember when I was younger. So I think 3 was really at my speed, but man, there was nothing better.
And it was the Tanuki suit. It wasn't even a raccoon, was it?
I don't remember. I just remember him being super adorable.
Let's turn into a statue. That's a cool power.
Yeah, absolutely.
So September 13th marked the 25th birthday of one of gaming's most beloved franchises, Super Mario Brothers. Mario creator Shigeru Miyamoto said, "The Super Mario Brothers series has always taken advantage of the latest technologies and is the fruit of the creativity of a number of my hardworking friends working as a team." Of course, that sounds oddly translated into English from
it does.
Japanese.
The one gripe I do have with Mario is that they always promote it as the biggest selling game of all time. But I think that was a couple of the titles were included with the Nintendo systems. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. When I got my NES, now I got a really odd system set up because I got the Nintendo, which came with Super Mario Brothers and Gyromite, because I got the bundle that came with Rob, the robotic operating buddy, and I still have him.
Wow.
That's right.
Dan, I remember that.
I don't think a lot of people got Rob kicking around their house.
No. Man, want to eBay that thing.
That's right. Even though one of the gyros is totally snapped in half.
But. Don't tell that. Don't tell them that. Don't even say that in the listing.
Casually leave it out.
That's right.
Telltale Games. Last week we talked about the fact that they had a trailer or a little teaser showing a mashup of their popular characters from their franchises. They did reveal the game, and I'm proud to say my speculation was 100% accurate. The game that's coming out is called Poker Night at the Inventory. In it, you'll deal with Penny Arcade's Clever Cunning Tycho, Team Fortress 2's Hulking Heavy, Homestar Runner's self-proclaimed awesome icon Strong Bad, and the hyperkinetic rabbity thing from Sam and Max. The $5 game, which is, gotta love that price point, comes to Steam this fall for the PC and Mac and is being released as part of Telltale Games' pilot program, an effort to give new risky game concepts a chance to shine. So, a poker game I could care less about, and I'm kind of disappointed that that's their big mashup with their characters, but at the same time, I really like the idea of a pilot program where they're trying out a lot of new stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. To get, you know, people to do their own thing and get it out there, it's a pretty cool idea.
Have you played any of the Telltale Games stuff?
No, believe it or not, I'm not a big Penny Arcade guy.
Really?
No, I'm one of the few at my geeky, nerdy friends that, you know, I'll read it when someone shows it to me or retweets it. But I used to when I was maybe a few years ago, I used to go there, but then I just kind of, I must have gotten a new computer and forgotten to bookmark it, because then I just forgot about it.
Wow. See, the two things that I still follow from, I guess you could say back in the day, as much as it's saying that, is Penny Arcade and Zero Punctuation.
Yeah, Zero Punctuation is another thing that, you know, if I see that on like Dig, you know, I'll check it out again or something like that. That's generally how, I don't know, I'm weird like that. I guess I'm just set in what I read, and if it happens to bleed over, then I'll read it, but that's about it.
Maybe it's because you actually have a life, and some of us just have a lot of time to waste. So.
I don't know, but you wouldn't think it, the amount of time I spend in Google Reader a day. It's just brutal.
Google Reader is the best thing ever.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Next story is something we kind of talked about already, Mega Man Universe. In the mashup trailer that they did show, there are three variations of Mega Man shown in just that one trailer. It will feature both a character and level editor. According to Capcom, quote, "You can create your own original Mega Man by assembling parts you like, adding that your abilities will change depending on the parts you choose." And again, we kind of gave our thing there. Go ahead.
What's this coming out for?
This is a downloadable title for both PSN and the Xbox Live Arcade.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. So I'm actually, I kind of like the downloadable format for the Mega Man stuff.
Yeah, I wish the industry would do more of that, but you know, they'd have to sell like 400 gig hard drives for that to become possible.
And speaking of Super Mario Brothers, and I know they want everyone to buy Wiis, and really that's the only reason I would, is to play a lot of the old school games, but let's get some Super Mario love going on the other consoles, and maybe Nintendo will actually make some money.
Oh man, that would be awesome. You know, do they really need to do their own system? You know, everyone has a Wii that's going to buy a Wii. I think that's why, you know, sales stopped on the Wii. What more is there to do? Why don't they just make Mario for every system and just count their monies?
Yeah, and do you really think they're going to make so much more profit by keeping it exclusive to Wii and selling Wiis as opposed to making the game available on the other consoles and just raking that cash in?
Yeah, I mean, what's the next gimmick that Nintendo could do? Maybe like a 3D gaming system, probably. That's it. They already did, you know, the Wii is becoming one with PlayStation and Xbox now with their Kinect and Move. So what else?
I kind of think they have to go the realm of suppositories.
I mean, I will wait in line for that. I will pre-order 9 Nintendo suppositories right now, sir.
It'll be Wii of another form.
I don't even know. I don't even know what to say.
I should not have gone there.
No.
WWE, SmackDown vs. Raw 2011. Are you a wrestling fan?
You know, I was hardcore when I was younger, and now I'm kind of starting to, with my wife and I, there's generally nothing on Monday nights, so I'll probably put it on to see, you know, what's going on. So we watch like an hour of it every week. So I'm kind of still in the up and up a little bit with the Nexus, and, you know, old face Bret Hart.
Nice.
Is back in it.
Nice.
But, yeah, I used to go to the shows, you know, with my buddies when we were in high school and stuff.
I still watch everything, and I credit the SmackDown just the SmackDown series at the time for really getting me into it. I didn't start watching wrestling till college. I wasn't allowed to growing up, so.
Yeah, when they branched into the SmackDown, that's kind of the era when I stopped. I think it kind of wore me out a little bit because you had, like, Nitro, Thunder. So WCW had two shows a week, and then wrestling WWF had two shows a week.
Yeah,
and then they had Sunday Night Heat, and it just kind of wore me out, and I couldn't do it all anymore.
I'm kind of getting hit by that lately. WWE currently has 4 shows that air a week, and I'm having a hard time keeping up.
Yeah, I remember when Nitro was 3 hours a week. They had Nitro for 3 hours. It's like a pay per view every week, and I think that definitely credited with a lot of people stopping watching.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only do so much once a week. And actually, the coolest thing made me think of this, but do you remember, I'm not sure if you were watching around this time, when they had, I think it was called Saturday Night Shotgun?
No, was that a WCW thing?
That was a WWF thing that eventually, you know, became like a tape show, like Sunday Night Heat.
Yeah.
But it started with them setting up a wrestling ring in a bar.
Oh, sweet.
And they had wrestling matches in a bar. And it was like the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I guess the logistics of it, they just couldn't do it weekly or whatever. But I'm going to YouTube, I think it's Saturday Night Shotgun. And I just remember like Triple H wrestling some guy in this dank, you know, low ceiling bar. And it was like the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Sounds like half the shows I perform on.
Yeah, there you go.
Really does. anyway, SmackDown vs. Raw 2011. The official site now has 24 superstars and divas featured, along with their entrance videos and at least one of their finishers shown. I love having it all available, although I really used to always like IGN's like Superstar a Day rollout and everything. That was really exciting and I thought built up the game really well, but I'm looking at some of these videos of the finishing moves and stuff, and when the hell are they going to reanimate some of this crap? Really?
Really? They're just like phoning in the animations?
Like, are you familiar with Evan Bourne?
Yes.
The guy's amazing. Mm-hmm. He has the most beautiful shooting star press ever, and they're using the same shooting star press from like 3 iterations ago of the game.
Wow.
Give the guy some credit. Seriously, it's bullcrap.
I'm trying to think. I wonder how what it's like to develop. Is it the same? Do they have the same development house for each year?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're still rocking the same one from like years ago.
I wonder what kind of work goes into like yearly development for a wrestling game. What time they can devote to, you know, let's improve this. This is our goal for this year, and then they just like forget about other stuff.
Right. I know. They always have these major improvements they want to make, and the animation improvement was like 4 years ago, and then they've just kind of forgotten about it since.
Yeah, this year it reminds me of NHL because this year they just completely revamped, you know, the hitting system. So there's like 30 different ways to get hit, or like how like I see someone get hit. Mm-hmm. So they finally redid that, and they were on like the same hitting system for like you said like 4 years. So I guess maybe in another year they'll change things for wrestling.
I'm really hoping. Yeah. Really am. Marvel's Iron Fist movie is finally moving forward. Mm-hmm. Rich Wilkes has been hired as screenwriter for The Tale of the Martial Artist. Fans may recall that Marvel had plans of an Iron Fist movie years ago, which would have starred comic book film alum Ray Park in the role, but that never really seemed to come to fruition.
Iron Fist is one of the lamest comic book characters in history. I'm sorry. I don't want to see him anywhere near my television or movie theater. I don't even think a Ray Park Iron Fist movie would have sold all that well. That sounds like it would have been like a direct-to-video movie.
Perhaps, yeah. Why do you think Marvel's going with this so gung-ho?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just like a kung fu character that they can push out. I can't think of any other kung fu characters they have. Maybe Daredevil. I mean, Daredevil was involved in that stuff, but...
Man, they did such a great job with that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Iron Fist. I don't know about Iron Fist. I mean... Now I'm still harping on Ray Harp. Has Ray Harp ever been in like a leading role in a movie with like his face showing?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
I mean, Toad was probably the closest, and that's nowhere near leading.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that Iron Fist never gets made. And as sad as it is, I'm not holding out hope for Deadpool either.
Yeah, I guess there's some rumors flying around on that. I haven't caught up completely on my news feed, but.
Yeah, every time, I mean, there's, like you said, in my Google Reader, there's like twice a week, there's a new Deadpool interview with Ryan, what's his face?
Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. And I just like, I don't care. When this movie is filming and it's about to hit theaters, then I'll care. I mean, all this stuff, the interviews, is just fluff. You know, it might never happen.
I'm just trying to figure out how many different comic book characters Ryan Reynolds is going to play.
Seriously. You know who else is the same way? Did you see X-Men 3?
Yes.
The kid who played Archangel?
Really?
He's been in like 4 or 5 comic book movies. He was in the Punisher movie.
He's such a like no-name to me that I don't even notice him, I don't think.
Yeah, he was in the second Punisher, the one with Thomas Jane. He was in, what was the third one? I know he's been in at least 3 or 4 comic book movies.
Hmm. They should have just thrown him into Legion with wings again.
Oh, God.
Such a bad movie. Last major story is Olivia Thirlby, an actress from Juno and The Blackness, has joined the cast of Judge Dredd. Thirlby will play Judge Cassandra Anderson, a psychically powered rookie judge who teams with Dredd for training.
Wow.
Are you excited about a new Dread movie?
I'm about to break news right now.
Oh. Whoa. Wait, what is it? Do I need to hear the whisper?
I have read some of the Judge Dredd script.
What? Whoa. How?
And don't you worry about that at the Night Angel. But it's very good. It's very
really?
Good. I'm not a huge Judge Dredd fan. My first Judge Dredd experience was Sylvester Stallone. So I mean,
yikes.
I mean, I was excited for that movie. I was like, oh man, a rated R comic book movie. Let me see it. But it's looking pretty good. If they follow this script, I'm excited.
How much of the script?
I've only gotten about 25 pages into it.
But you have the entire thing, you're saying?
Yes, maybe.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
It is. Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I can't divulge any secrets as to where I have obtained said script.
Understood.
But the whatever script I have, it's pretty good.
Fantastic. I really like the casting of Carl Urban in the role, and we said that on the show before, that he just really seems into it.
Yeah, I love Carl Urban. He's a stud, as they say.
All right, well, with that, I think it's a good time to take another quick break. When we come back, we are going to dish out some movie recommendations for all y'all.
Sweet.
So we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris, your host for Geek Tech Live, the biweekly podcast that showcases tech news, reviews of consumer products and games, and I even get to talk to some of the movers and shakers in the world of geekdom. Occasionally, I even throw in a rant or two. So drop on by to geektechlive.com. See you there.
Hello, world. This is Todd from Dangerous Memories, and you're listening to The Geek Generation.
We are back, and as we did in episode 4, we have a list of movies to either recommend to you or recommend that you ignore based on their crappiness. I did hope to do this last month, but we just got so busy with the show that I'm really just getting around to it now. So I did watch some of these a little while ago, but I will bring them up now anyway. The first on my list is Tim Burton's version of Alice in Wonderland. Did you see that one?
No, I think Tim Burton's movies now are kind of like the plague anymore. I don't know. I have no desire to see it. You saw it?
I did, and I agree, Burton's movies have gone downhill quite a bit. And Alice in Wonderland, I was so unexcited for that I didn't see it in the theaters. I waited for DVD because it really, I think all of Burton's movies now are like a Johnny Depp love fest.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that because I just watched Beetlejuice on Netflix, you know, like for the first time, not on network television.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, I think I tweeted it too, at Slam on the Twitter. imagine if Tim Burton made this movie now, and I think I said it would star Johnny Depp and be awful.
Yeah.
Because it would. It would be like CGI. Johnny Depp probably wouldn't even really be in it, and it would just be brutal.
And the female lead would be Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking back, Beetlejuice, like, that still holds up.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, like when he's in like the dead world and they have, you know, that serpent-esque character kind of, you know, swimming. It holds up because it's such an odd special effect.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of just lasts, but yeah.
So, and I have to remind myself that that's Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah, he's so good in that movie.
Oh my God, the guy's amazing.
Yeah. I would love to be around or like, you know, cognizant of when the casting for Batman came out. And like everyone hated that he was going to be Batman.
Yeah.
But it ended up being awesome.
Guy nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically Alice in Wonderland felt very stale. There is actually two different reviews up on the Geek Generation site right now, and neither of them were stellar. And I agree. This is a don't bother. It's not worth your time, really.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know what's left for Tim Burton to do.
I think he needs to divorce himself from the Depp and get back to doing some of his old school stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard because, you know, maybe he's of the Lucas mind where, you know, that's not he only did those movies to the best of his available ability with like technology. Maybe this is like this was his dream the whole time, and there's just like he's done.
That would be a shame.
Because like Lucas did his movies, like now he had the technology to do it, and look how they turned out.
Yeah, apparently technology is not always our friend.
Yeah, seriously.
Next movie I got on here is Batman Under the Red Hood.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming you have this one.
I think I got that off the 360. I watched it one day.
So freaking good.
Yeah, I loved it.
I would say it is the best Batman animated film since Mask of the Phantasm.
Wow. That is high praise, sir. That is very high praise.
Not better than, because that is perhaps the best movie of all time, but Under the Red Hood is not light years behind it.
No, I completely agree. And actually, I only read one issue of the series that was based on, you know, the Red Hood Return of Jason Todd.
Yep.
Judd Winnick and all that. I actually only read like one issue of that series. So I wasn't, you know, going through it with a fine-tooth comb, but I loved it.
I could definitely see some of the things that they were pulling from, but they still, I love the way that all these DC Universe animated movies have been. They're tremendous.
Yeah, and I love that for the most part, they're kind of, depending on which arc they're doing, they're mm-hmm. staying true to the artistic vision of the artist that did that arc. You know, the Superman, Batman, the Lex Luthor one. I can't remember what it was called. The most recent one.
Public Enemies.
Yeah, that, you know, that had the Ed McGuinness.
Absolutely.
Art theme. The Apocalypse that's coming out has the Michael Turner theme going. Yep.
September 28th. Yeah. Can't wait.
That's, I love what they're doing with that. I just wish they would keep the voices kind of static. Yeah. The characters' voices. But that's just a small gripe, I guess.
They are maintaining the Kevin Conroy Batman and the Tim Daly Superman throughout the Batman Superman movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone else, I think it might have been, at Scott_Toomey or whatever his name is, or the culprits.
At the Scott Toomey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go. I think he might have brought that up, but I just think, I don't know, if you're going to do an anime movie with Batman, I just think you should have the same voice. I think
Agreed.
They've had, outside of Conroy, I think they've had two or three other voices with, like, New Frontier.
Yeah.
I think it was a different guy. I don't know. I'm just not a fan.
Well, what is it? What is it? Justice League? What was the last Justice League movie? I can't forget the name.
Something Crisis.
Yes. They had William Baldwin as Batman, and that was just so distracting and terrible.
It was. It's distracting just to have a non-Conroy voice for me.
It is.
Growing up on the animated series.
Although Bruce Greenwood in Under the Red Hood was pretty damn close.
Yeah, I did like his voice. I did like it. I just wish we never got to the point where I would like someone else's voice, I guess.
Yeah. You felt a little guilty.
I felt guilty. I did. Yeah. I wanted to, like, you know, fax Kevin Conroy a letter and apologize.
I'm sorry.
But I did.
I kind of felt the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So clearly this is a rent it recommendation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything you wanted to throw into the mix?
You know, I just found something. It was going to be Superman, Batman, Apocalypse.
Yes.
But mainly just because DC is like, I love that they're putting the time into the animated series portion of their movies, because, you know, they're not, it's outside of Batman, they don't have anything going on movie-wise.
True.
But I would even, in terms of animation, I would say go rent, even though only half of it is good, but I'm not sure if you ever saw the Hulk versus DVD.
Where I agree with you.
Hulk versus Wolverine, Hulk versus Thor.
Yep.
The Hulk versus Wolverine portion of that I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
The Weapon X, they had Deadpool in it. Deadpool was hilarious. The animation was good. It was violent. I actually bought it for my nephew and I watched it with him for the first time I saw it. And then like I was like, oh, this is kind of violent. but I thought it was a good, you know, intro to the Marvel universe. But
sure.
I recommend everyone go rent that and just not watch the Thor one.
I totally agree. The only thing that irked me in the verse Wolverine is Wolverine's mask.
Oh, because it was kind of like the old school Len Wein appearance one, I think. It was smaller.
It was like a weird hybrid, too, and they had like the yellow go way too much down his face, and I don't know. It was
because in his first appearance, it was like that. You're right. It was kind of weird. And then even now, when he used to wear the mask, like when they first redesigned it, they made it really short too. Within the last like 5 years,
right?
They redid his costume, and it was kind of goofy.
It's kind of that whole concept where whatever your first introduction to something is kind of what you want it to be all the time. So I want the 90s animated cartoon costume and nothing else.
Absolutely. And I would actually love his brown and tan costume to come back.
That's true. The old school figure. I got that rocking around somewhere.
It's funny because maybe it came out like 5 years ago, but when Mark Miller and John Romita Jr. hopped on the Wolverine title, right before he became, you know, the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. storyline. I'm not sure if you ever read that one.
I have not, no.
But they promoted that series, their run on it, with his black and tan. And then they ended up changing it to the goofy, you know, yellow-blue costume.
Yeah.
And I was so pissed because it was going to be awesome. I don't remember the last time he wore the black and tan costume.
It's been a long time.
Oh, God. Love it.
Good suit, though.
Mm-hmm.
Next movie on my list is Brooklyn's Finest. Are you familiar?
No, I am not, sir.
Okay. One of the big things, or the big deals with this movie, is that Wesley Snipes was in it, and he has had his jail issues over the last few years.
Yeah.
So it's got Snipes, it's got Richard Gere, and really my mind kind of stops there because it's a terrible movie.
Wow.
It was one of those movies where they had like three different storylines going on. And if you do that well, it can come out really well. And it really just feels like they were taking the heads of the stories and kind of smashing them together at the end saying, hey, look, they're all the same.
God, poor Wesley and his fall from, you know, somewhat grace, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That Don Cheadle was in it, too, which is disappointing.
That's weird.
See, they were all great performances. It was one of those movies where you're like, wow, that was really good as far as the actors doing their thing. But the story just was not there.
Yeah, well, Don Cheadle is another guy that he's had some curious acting choices. What was that one movie he was in, Traitor?
Yes.
That seemed like did that even hit theaters? Might have been in theaters for like a week.
It was there and gone so fast.
Poor Don. Poor Don. He needs another Ocean's 11 movie, quick.
He does. The guy's talented, too. He really is. It's just, ugh.
I'll say a few prayers for him tonight.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
This one's for you, Don.
Next thing I got is The Wolfman with Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins. Are you a horror movie guy? Or?
I'm not a huge horror movie guy, but I did want to see Benicio del Toro in Wolfman. I remember following its progress on Ain't It Cool News, but I still have yet to see it.
I am not really a horror fan, and yet when I saw him in the Wolfman makeup, I was like, oh, that's freaking cool.
Yeah.
So I watched it, and I hated it.
Oh, no.
But here's the thing. If you're a fan of the old school horror movies where they're almost kind of ridiculous to a point, you might actually like this one. But I just never got into that style of movie, and I think that's my problem. I think a lot of people, my friends, like the Todd Sizzle and the Scott Toomey, I believe both really like this movie because it is the old school horror style.
Do you remember Jack Nicholson in Wolf? Do you remember that one?
I remember the trailers, and that was enough for me.
Oh, man. I think Michelle Pfeiffer was in that. Man, she looked hot in that movie.
During that time, when did Michelle Pfeiffer not look hot?
Seriously.
Holy crisnap.
Maybe when she was going number two, but that's about it. Maybe she was still hot when she was doing that. Who knows? Who knows? Who can say, you know?
Is it bad that I went to a Catwoman place and pictured a litter box?
That is bad, I think.
That's pretty bad.
I think the police are about to knock on your door right now.
Before I jump to my next movie, did you have anyone you wanted to toss in there?
Let me think. The most recent movie I watched, probably also today, I worked from home, so I was doing a lot of computer stuff, and I set up my iPad, and I watched The Running Man for the very first time.
Oh.
With Arnold. Very,
what'd you think?
Very, very enjoyable. Not as good as, you know, as it was hyped up to be, I guess, because a lot of people consider that to be the quintessential Arnold film.
Yep.
I still consider, as bad as it is, The Eraser is one of my favorite Arnold movies. Because I think that's got more corny action one-liners than a lot of his movies.
I think that's your reasoning.
Yes. I need a movie where Arnold kills someone and says something, and then I fist pump the screen because it's so awesome and it makes me laugh. So The Eraser is absolutely one of those movies. So everyone go rent The Eraser right now.
I have not seen that, but all I know is my whole knowledge of the movie is he has a gun that shoots through walls or something.
Oh, yeah. He's got this. That's this top secret prototype that they need to get back or away from because Vanessa Williams has like the secret details to it. So he's got to protect her from James Caan.
I remember when that came out, everyone was like, Vanessa Williams, where the hell did she come from?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was out of nowhere.
She didn't do anything after that, I don't think.
Yeah. All right. The next movie I have is Moon.
That was in my queue, my Netflix queue for a long time. Still have not seen it yet.
So it's still sitting there waiting?
It's still sitting there. Everyone I know, Jay's all over that movie all the time.
I'm going to do you a favor then.
Yeah?
Keep it there.
Uh-oh, wow.
Yeah, whoa, you thought I was going to be like, take it away, it's crap, but no. Moon was actually really good.
Yeah, I love Sam in all his movies. He's a genius.
Yeah, and if you're a Sam Rockwell fan, this is a Sam Rockwell like showcase because he really gets to flex the acting muscles in this one.
Wow, maybe I'll watch it tonight while I'm in bed on the iPad.
It was streaming for a little while.
I hope. Yeah, I think it had it like a date that it was going to get taken off. I hope it's still there.
And for as a little side note for the unknowns, the movie was partially written and fully directed by a man named Duncan Jones, who is the son of David Bowie.
Wow.
Yeah, a little trivia going on.
And even better, it's still on Instant Watch, everyone.
Sweet.
So go grab it.
I believe that's how I watched it originally, and the quality was fantastic.
Gotta love it.
So yeah, Moon, awesome movie. The last one I have is Legion.
Mm.
Did you see The Legion?
You know, my best friend and his wife went to go see it, and not favorable reviews.
Mm.
Have you seen The Legion movie?
I have.
Doesn't sound good right now, I'll tell you that much.
Legion was the worst on the list of the things I've talked about today.
Wow.
Yeah. Legion puts itself off as something totally different than it was. I was actually kind of excited to watch it and then really disappointed to find out that it's basically a zombie movie in disguise.
What?
It really is. Here's the premise, and let's go over some ridiculousness. There's this woman who is pregnant. And nice. They never really go into why, but of course you're starting to think Immaculate Conception when you know the whole span of what's going on in the movie here. But of course they never get into it. This guy shows up and all these people start meeting at like a diner out in the middle of the desert. A guy shows up, says he's an angel. He's actually like the fallen angel, Michael, and he has cut off his wings and all that stuff and left the army of angels. God has apparently given up on the human race and he is sending his army of angels to destroy everybody.
Wow.
And the angels basically come off like zombies because they can, aside from Michael and Gabriel, who are like the two head guys, the other angels can possess weak-minded human beings and take over their bodies.
I want to go Predator NES Select myself right now.
Right?
Just listening to that.
But the weird thing is, it's one of those zombie movies where the people that are in the diner are just isolated, totally isolated. So they've kind of illustrated that none of the people in the diner are really weak-minded. So you know none of them are going to turn into like zombie angel people. And the angels are all just coming from nowhere because it's the middle of the desert to attack the diner. So it's basically, we stay at this diner, angels come and attack it, movie ends.
Hmm. That is a no rent.
Yeah. Apparently the whole deal is that they have to protect this pregnant woman because her child will be the savior of mankind.
Of course. Isn't it always that way?
Always is. And good Lord, just
pass on Legion.
So pass gas before you pass.
Go watch The Eraser instead of Legion.
Yes, Eraser.
Go watch it twice.
I don't want to watch the Legion.
Yeah, that's the end of my list. I don't know if you want to toss anything else.
I mean,
in
I'm too depressed to even mention anything else. I don't even know if I can even. I don't even know if I have the energy to plug my own website after that.
I really don't want to be in the pitch meeting where someone says zombie angels and thinks that's a really good idea.
Sadly, I think that's probably what got that movie made. I mean, if he had thrown in zombie vampire angels, the building would have exploded, no doubt.
Oh, and we would have gotten such a worse movie.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Well, then, in that case, coming up next week, I have no idea what the hell we're doing.
Nice.
I have not lined up a co-host yet. Everyone's busy. I did also mention that there was going to be our first interview, which I'm also not sure if that's happening because the person's not getting back to me.
Oh.
So there's a whole lot of stuff falling apart right now.
Big show next week. That's all anyone needs to know. Big show. It's going to knock your socks off.
You're talking about the comics podcast, right? not my show. Clearly not.
Absolutely not.
I have so much faith in my abilities right now.
It's absolutely. Big show, Geek Generation next week. Everyone tune in.
Wow. Love that. All right. Well, in that case, is there anything you'd like to plug at Slim?
No. If anyone is interested in nerdy tech news, go to nerdcast.org. We do a comics podcast probably this weekend. We're going to talk about the books we read, old and new, and the books we specifically are going to talk about at the end of the show are Lex Luthor, Man of Steel, and The Joker, which are both written and drawn by the same creative team, but you know, in the eyes of those characters. So you get a different kind of Lex and a different kind of Joker, which we're going to talk about.
That sounds very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I loves me some Joker.
Me too. Love him to death.
Now, does the comics podcast have a set airtime where people can call in like Nerdcast it?
Generally, you'll know 24 hours ahead of time, I think. It's kind of like a looser schedule. You know, we'll do it the night before. We'll know when we're going to record it. Like, we knew we were going to record up last Monday the night before, so I sent out word so that people could listen live.
Gotcha. And, so if people want to be made aware of that, what should they do, probably?
They can follow us on the Twitter, at Comics Podcast, or stay tuned to the .org, nerdcast.org, or at .org on the Twitter.
Sweet. Gotta love getting those plugs in.
Absolutely. I love plugs, and everyone just go to those places right now.
All right. Well, in that case, if you like this show, please tell your friends. And of course, if you like Nerdcast and the comics podcast, you can tell your friends about that too. If you want to visit the site to see the show notes or the articles that we talked about today, you can go to www.thegeekgeneration.com. There's a button there to subscribe in iTunes. While you are there, please, please, please rate the show and write a review, as that increases our visibility in the store. There's also a donate button that no one will ever use. They just won't. I'll say it, but no one's ever going to do it.
It's true.
If you have questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like to like us to discuss, send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or hit me up on @GeekGeneration on the Twitter. If you would like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to the show, send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. So I gotta say, at Slim, this was a good time.
Absolutely. I think this was my favorite guest spot on any podcast ever.
No, how many have there been?
There's been two.
We're better than someone else.
That's right. Absolutely.
I love it. Kick ass. All right. Well, then, in that case, check out the Comics Podcast. Check out more of our shows, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.